All right, so today we're going to dig into gardens.
Gardens.
Yeah, but not just any gardens. We're talking about making your garden a haven for you and for Flanders native animals.
Right, like inviting nature right in.
Yeah, exactly. And get this, low maintenance, low cost, and it supports local biodiversity. Who wouldn't want that?
It sounds almost too good to be true,
I
right?
know, right? It's like, what's the catch?
I think the catch is, well, not really a catch, but we're so used to these like picture-perfect gardens, all neat and tidy.
Like perfectly manicured.
Yeah, exactly. But this is about embracing something a bit wilder, a bit more natural.
I love that. So, where are we getting all this wisdom from?
Well, there's this website.
Okay, lay it on me.
It's called tuinhyrvormensendir.be.
Whoa, say that 5 times fast.
I know, right? It translates to like gardening for the benefit of humans and also native animals.
I love it.
It was created by this guy, Michael Van Doren, and he's got all these examples of how to create these incredible garden biotopes.
So it's not just about like randomly throwing some native plants together.
No, there's a real method to it.
Okay, I'm hooked. Tell me more. What's the secret?
Well, it all starts with the Jamangda hog.
The what?
The Jamangda hog, which basically means mixed hedge.
Okay, a hedge, I get that, but mixed.
Yeah, so instead of just having a row of the same shrub, you mix it up.
Oh, so like a controlled chaos kind of thing.
Exactly. You're essentially creating an ecosystem, a little slice of a natural hedgerow, but right there in your garden.
Okay, I'm picturing it now. All these different plants, textures, colors, but wouldn't that look messy?
It could, but that's where the art comes in. It's about finding that balance between like letting nature do its thing and having some intentionality with the design.
Right, so not just letting it go wild.
Exactly. You're still choosing the plants, arranging them in a way that's visually appealing, but also functional.
Okay, functional in what way? Does it actually make a difference for, the local wildlife?
Absolutely. Think about all the pollinators you'd attract with a variety of flowering plants.
Oh, right. Bees, butterflies, all that good stuff.
Exactly. You might even see hedgehogs snuffling around looking for slugs.
No way. Right in my garden.
Yep. And don't forget about the birds.
Oh, of course. A mixed hedge would be perfect for birds, wouldn't it? All those branches for nesting.
Yeah. And all the different insects and berries, it would be like a buffet for them.
So, what kind of birds are we talking about here?
You could see anything from robins and finches to woodpeckers, even.
Wow. So it's not just a pretty garden, it's like a whole ecosystem.
Right. You're supporting the whole web of life.
And all of this, low maintenance, low cost, what's the catch?
Well, the one thing is, these mixed hedges, they need space.
I was just thinking that my garden isn't huge.
Yeah, so ideally you'd want like 2 to 3 meters in width.
Whoa, that's wider than I imagined.
It might sound like a lot, but it gives those plants room to grow and mingle, create those dense layers.
I see. So we're ditching the perfectly straight lines.
Yeah, more organic shapes, mimicking nature.
I love that. But how do we even choose which plants to include? I'm guessing there are tons of native Flemish options.
Oh, there are. But there's a great resource, ecoflora.be.
Ecoflora, what is that?
It's a website with a ton of info on native plants. You can filter by your region, soil type, everything.
Oh, wow. So you know you're choosing the right plants for your garden.
Exactly. It takes all the guesswork out of
Perfect.
it.
Okay, so I've got my plant list. What's next?
Well, before you even think about planting, you gotta prep that
Oh,
soil.
right. Soil prep, the not so glamorous part.
But crucial, you want to create the ideal conditions for those native plants to thrive.
So what does that involve?
First, clear the area where you'll be planting, get rid of any existing vegetation.
So starting with a clean slate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then give the soil a good turnover, loosen it up.
What if the soil's really heavy clay?
Like mine. Well, for heavier soils, there's this technique called double digging.
Double digging, what's that?
Basically, you dig a trench, flip the soil layers. It's a bit more work, but it improves drainage and root development.
Okay, noted. Anything else?
You might need to amend your soil depending on the plants you've chosen.
Soil amendments, like what?
Well, a lot of native Flemish plants like well-drained sandy soil.
So if my soil's more clay-like,
You might want to add some sand, yeah.
sand. Interesting. So it's all about mimicking the natural conditions.
Exactly. Working with nature, not against it.
And what about fertilizers?
Actually, the website really advises against using chemical fertilizers, especially the stuff you find at garden centers.
Really? Why is that?
Well, they can actually do more harm than good.
How so?
For one, they can encourage the growth of weeds and grasses, which can outcompete your hedge
Oh,
plants.
right. We want to give those native plants a fighting chance.
Yeah, and those chemical fertilizers, they can mess with the natural balance of the soil.
So what do we use instead?
Compost, it's like the best thing ever for your garden.
Compost, got it. And it's all natural.
Exactly. Sustainable and eco-friendly.
I'm loving this. Okay, so we've got our soil prepped. What about actually planting the hedge?
Ah, yes. Planting. Well, there are a few key things to keep in mind there, but I think we should probably save those juicy details for later.
Ooh, a cliffhanger.
I know, right?
All right, so we prepped our soil. We're ready to actually plant this Jamengdahog thing.
Okay, so you've got your plants from ecoflora.bee. Soil's all ready. You're raring to go.
Yep, let's do this.
Hold on. Timing is actually super important here.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Best time to plant your mixed hedge is in the fall, like September, October.
Makes sense. Gives those roots time to get comfy before winter.
Exactly. And remember those clusters of plants we talked about?
Yeah, the 3 to 13 of the same species.
Right. Those waves of plants.
So we're not just like scattering them randomly throughout the hedge.
Nope. Planting in groups is key. It creates these microhabitats that wildlife love.
Like a little neighborhood for each species.
Exactly. A cluster of hawthorn gives the birds a bunch of berries in one spot. A patch of dense shrubs is perfect for nesting, you know?
I'm starting to see the whole picture now.
It's not just about the individual plants, it's about how they all work together to create this layered habitat.
Okay, so we're planting in groups. Anything else we need to know?
Make sure you dig those holes nice and deep and wide, bigger than the root ball.
Give those roots room to breathe.
Yeah. And chuck in a good handful of that compost we talked about.
Spoil those roots.
Exactly. And of course, water them well, especially when it's dry.
Got it. So as hedge is planted, can I just sit back and admire my work now?
Well, not quite. The next few months are all about monitoring and, unfortunately, weeding.
Ugh, weeding. I was afraid you'd say that.
It's part of the game, but hey, some weeds can actually be good for wildlife.
Oh, that's right. I remember that from tuinhervormensendier.bee. What we see as a weed might be a tasty snack for something else.
Exactly. So do a little research, maybe use a plant ID app like Obs Identify, figure out which ones to keep and which one's got to go.
That's a great tip. Okay, so for the ones that really need to go, what's the best way to tackle them?
Hand weeding is your best bet, especially while your hedge is young.
All right, guess I'll get my gloves on. It'll be good exercise anyway.
And you'll really get to know your plants.
True. So we're weeding, we're watering. Anything else to watch out for in those first few months?
Keep an eye out for any gaps, you know, plants that didn't make it.
Like little casualties.
Yeah, you can always fill those in with new plants next fall.
Patching up the hedge.
Exactly. And also keep an eye on the soil. If you see water pooling after rain or your plants are looking a bit sad, could be compaction.
Okay, so what do I do if the soil's compacted?
If it's not too bad, just use a garden fork to aerate it.
Like poking some holes in it.
Yeah. But if it's really bad, might want to call in a professional.
Okay, noted. So we've babied our hedge through the first few months. What about long-term maintenance?
Good news. Mixed hedges are actually pretty low maintenance once they're established.
Music to my ears. Tell me more.
The main thing is pruning, usually once a year in July.
July, is there a reason for that?
Yep. It gives the plants time to recover before winter, and it minimizes disruption to nesting birds.
Oh, right. We don't want to disturb our feathered friends.
Exactly. So July it is, and when you prune, think organic shapes. No straight
That
lines.
wave shape we talked about.
You got it.
Oh.
Mimic nature. Let those curves flow.
Okay, and what do I do with all the clippings? Seems like a waste to just throw them away.
Don't use them as mulch around your hedge.
Ah, so we're giving back to the soil.
Exactly. Closing the loop, creating a sustainable system.
I love it. So pruning in July, using the clippings as mulch. Anything else I need to know about keeping this hedge happy?
Just remember, compost is your friend, no chemical fertilizers,
Compost it is.
and be mindful of watering. Too much water can actually be bad, encourages weed growth.
Got it. Deep but infrequent watering.
You've got it. It's all about working with nature, creating this beautiful, functional ecosystem.
It really is amazing. It's like we're creating this little world in our gardens.
Exactly. And the impact of that, it goes way beyond our garden walls, but I think that's a conversation for another time.
Ooh, another cliffhanger. I can't wait to hear more. So we were talking about how creating a Jamengdahog, a mixed hedge, can have an impact that goes beyond our own gardens.
Right. Yeah.
I'm really curious to hear more about that.
Well, imagine if everyone in Flanders started doing this you know, making their gardens more wildlife friendly.
Like a whole network of mini nature reserves.
Exactly. It would be like creating these stepping stones for wildlife so they can move around more easily.
So it's not just about having isolated pockets of habitat, it's about connecting them.
Yeah. It's about creating a corridor, a continuous flow of life throughout the landscape.
That's amazing. So animals can find food, shelter, mates, all that good stuff.
Exactly. And it's not just about habitat. These green spaces also help with things like air quality, water runoff.
Right. And they could even help with climate change.
It's like a ripple effect, one garden inspiring another.
I love that. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are the key takeaways you want our listeners to remember?
I think the most important thing is that your garden can be so much more than just a pretty space.
Yeah, it can be a real haven for wildlife.
Exactly. It can support all sorts of creatures, from tiny insects to birds, mammals, everything.
And creating this kind of garden, it doesn't have to be complicated or expensive?
No, not at all. The Jemeng de Hague is a great example. It's beautiful, it's functional, and it's great for the environment.
And it's relatively low maintenance once it's established.
That's right. So remember, choose native plants, give them space, avoid those chemical fertilizers and pesticides,
and embrace those organic shapes. Let nature be your guide.
You got it. Let your garden be a little wild, a little messy.
So what's the one thing you want our listeners to do after listening to this episode?
Go check out twinhervormensendier.be.
That website again?
Yeah, there's so much information there. Tons of inspiration.
I know, I'm already making a list of plants I want to try.
Perfect. And as a final thought, what if this way of gardening, this focus on biodiversity, what if it could extend beyond our own backyards?
That's a great question. What if we could create more green spaces throughout our cities and towns?
Imagine that. A whole network of interconnected gardens, parks, green corridors.
It'd be amazing for wildlife, for the environment, for everyone.
It's a beautiful vision, and it all starts with each of us taking action.
So true. Well, this has been an inspiring conversation. I'm definitely feeling motivated to get out there and create my own little haven for wildlife.
That's great to hear. Remember, every little bit helps.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of wildlife-friendly gardening.
It's been a pleasure.
And to all our listeners, happy gardening.